Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When Governor Patterson woke up New Year's morning, he probably rolled over in bed, thought about the fresh start that a new year brings, and then realized that he has to deal with the same old problems that 2008 ended with, the $15 billion budget deficit over the next 15 months, doubts about whether the state Senate will really wind up under Democratic control despite the election results, and whether to appoint Caroline Kennedy or someone else to replace Hillary Clinton in the Senate. Now, the press, as you probably realized, has generally been very critical of Caroline Kennedy, with her lack of experience, seemingly, and her stumbling interviews since declaring her interest in the seat. But Michael Daly's column in the Daily News yesterday highlighted a YouTube video of Caroline Kennedy in which she seemed relaxed and confident. He called her caring and eloquent. He's definitely for Caroline Kennedy. Never mind that it was with a fifth grader doing a student interview with her in the summer. We thought you might like to hear it. I went and listened to this clip. This is an interview with fifth grader Damon Weaver. He's become something of a celebrity on YouTube, mostly for his interview with Joe Biden during the summer. Maybe you saw that where Biden stood through the whole interview and this poor little 10-year-old had to stand there holding the microphone way up over his head. And we'll play a clip where he actually refers to that interview coming up. But here is about a minute and a half of fifth grader Damon Weaver in the rural Florida panhandle interviewing Caroline Kennedy this summer as she was campaigning for Barack Obama, got Michael Daly's attention as an argument to make her a U.S. senator.
What was your favorite subject when you were in school?
Well, I really like history and reading English, which is English language arts now, I think, because I think words and ideas have the power to change the world.
What do you like to do for fun?
I like to campaign for Barack Obama.
Can you give some advice to the students at our school?
Well, I think it's really important to work hard in school and find the thing that you like and that interests you, to ask your teachers for help if you need help, because there's so many important things to do in this world, and we need the kids to get involved and help fix these problems because the grown-ups haven't been doing a very good job lately.
What do you do for Senator Obama?
Well, I go around, I thank people who are working hard, like the people here, and I tell people why I think he would be a good president, and try to convince them to get out there and vote for him.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it. I think it's really important. That's why I'm doing it, because I think it's going to make our country a better place to live.
How did you get started?
Well, I got started because I was watching TV, and I saw the way he spoke, and I was really inspired, and I thought he would make a great president. And then I read his books, and I watched more TV, I watched the debates, and so I just thought that he would be great, so I wanted to help him out.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Caroline's daddy would be very proud of her.
And proud of how she didn't say, you know, and have long pauses every few seconds, like when grown-ups interviewed her, although our producer counted 14 us. Who wouldn't say 14 us in a minute and a half of a series of questions. But just for the fun of it, it seems that this fifth grader, Damon Weaver, had also interviewed Joe Biden, as I said, and found him, well, talkative. And he decided to bring that up with Caroline Kennedy.
I read that you were one of the people that helped Barack Obama choose Senator Joe Biden as his vice president. Why do you think Joe Biden will make a good vice president?
Well, I think Joe Biden will make a good vice president because he understands what a good president Barack Obama is going to be. That's number one. And number two, because he has a lot of experience in getting things done in Washington. And Republicans and Democrats want to work with Joe Biden. And so do people who live all around the world, because he's been specializing in working with other countries throughout his career. Also, he is really committed to the Constitution and to keeping neighborhoods safe. So I think all of those things are really important, and that's why he'll be a good vice president.
I interviewed Joe Biden and the other day. CNN aired a report about my interview with Senator Joe Biden. They said that he was long-winded and showed how my arm was getting tired trying to hold a microphone during the interview. What does long-winded mean?
Well, he gives long answers to questions, but he's, you know, he knows a lot. So it's really, you know, it's interesting, but he tends to give a really full answer.
Do you think Senator Biden is long-winded?
Well, when I saw him, he wasn't.
All right, Caroline Kennedy with 10-year-old Damon Weaver, the boy interviewer in the rural Florida panhandle, who's become a sensation on YouTube, and his Biden clips have been played on The Daily Show and stuff like that. And Michael Daly at The Daily News, Daly, thought that this showed Caroline Kennedy is caring and eloquent, unlike most of the public has been seeing her, with interviewers out to get her. So we thought we'd give the lady her due and play those clips for you to judge for yourself whether they become a good argument to appoint Caroline Kennedy to the U.S. Senate. Anyway, Daily News political columnist Liz Benjamin is here to talk about the open seat in the U.S. Senate and more. So is Irene Liu, political writer at the Albany Times-Union and blogger for Capital Confidential. Irene and Liz, thanks for coming on today. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Brian.
So this Caroline Kennedy and the rest of the Senate seat sweepstakes, Irene, when will Governor Patterson decide?
Governor Patterson is been very consistent in saying that he is not going to make his announcement until after Senator Clinton has been confirmed and has vacated the seat.
Does that happen? Does that happen only after the inauguration?
Yes, that's we will definitely not know until at least after January 20th.
Liz, why is Mayor Bloomberg pushing Caroline Kennedy so hard? He is, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask the mayor, he's not. He's just a really big fan of hers. But, of course, his deputy mayor, Kevin Sheehy, is indeed pushing her and perhaps got out a little too far ahead of himself because the assembly speaker said that he felt like that indicated that Caroline Kennedy would be Mayor Bloomberg's agent and perhaps not loyal to the governor or to the rest of the state or as independent as she might be. The speaker has since changed his tune on Caroline Kennedy. It's sort of a mystery as to why, although he says he thinks that he just made an assessment that he thinks she's likely to get picked and he doesn't want to be an enemy of hers. Mm. So,
Liz, the New York... Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's just fascinating. I mean, obviously, if she's going to be a senator, people want to be allied with her. It would be sort of bad to be on her bad side, particularly since it's so clear that the Obama administration and the president-elect is a fan.
Do you think, either of you, that the Obama administration is putting pressure on Patterson to select Caroline Kennedy? Do either of you have any evidence of that? Irene, do you?
Governor Patterson has said that he has only spoken with the president-elect once at the governor's meeting in Pennsylvania. I believe it was about a month ago. And he sort of turned it into a joke and said that his conversation with Obama really was just Obama telling him, I'm really sorry that I have put you in this position. I'm sure it's not easy. He, when asked about this, Governor Patterson has said that he has not received any sort of pressure from the Obama administration. However, Caroline Kennedy had a very significant role to play in sort of the buildup of Obama's campaign early on, and certainly Governor Patterson, who is now, you know, with other governors asking for a $1 trillion economic stimulus bill, must be aware of that.
Liz Benjamin, anything more on that?
Yeah, I think that the idea that he's not being pressured is sort of ridiculous, no matter what he says. When you have Harry Reid speaking on national TV and saying that he's made calls to Governor Patterson, I think it's pretty clear where everybody is on this particular issue with Caroline Kennedy. And everyone knows that when you've Kevin Sheehy saying things like, you know, it would be political malpractice not to tap someone or who has endorsed Obama, who would have a good relationship with Obama, particularly when most of New York, in fact, if not all of New York, was behind Hillary Clinton, including the governor, during the Democratic primary. It's sort of It's just not realistic to suggest that the Obama administration doesn't have a real vested interest in this, and I'm sure David Paterson is aware of that.
So what are you suggesting, Liz, is the price that David Paterson might pay, politically speaking, for appointing someone else?
Well, that's tricky, right, because it's difficult to say, you didn't pick my person, and so I'm not going to give you your $1 trillion stimulus package. I mean, obviously, that's something that all the governors are seeking, not just David Paterson. And so that wouldn't be an overt, there would be no overt price to pay, I don't believe. However, you know, there might be some, perhaps, you know, not, they wouldn't be as interested in helping him as they might be. And when it comes time in 2010 for him to run, and it will be the first time that he's run statewide as governor to keep the seat that he ascended to due to the prostitution scandal of Elliot Spitzer, maybe there would be less assistance than there might be from the Obama administration.
Irene Liu, any other price to pay?
I think pretty much Liz covered it. I think that, you know, in 2010, there is potentially, if he were to choose Caroline Kennedy, a potential for the president-elect to possibly make a visit to New York. There, I mean, it really isn't necessarily, as Liz said, a direct sort of punishment, but there is a number of possibilities in terms of what could be done in 2010 to help the governor that may not materialize.
I'm guessing that for the governor, the biggest political consideration, Irene, would be who would help him by being on the ticket with him in 2010, which amazingly is now only next year. Do you think that's a top consideration that he's thinking, you know, obviously he's thinking about the qualifications of the person to help the state, but also from the political side, is he thinking, well, since I'm going to run side by side with this person, since I'm going to want to get reelected, what does central casting give me? You know, in a Caroline Kennedy as opposed to a Carolyn Maloney, as opposed to a Steve Israel, as opposed to an anybody else?
Governor Paterson has said that he is really focused on who is going to best advocate and serve New York. Of course, he is a longtime politician and would be silly not to consider, you know, the ticket for his own reelection as well as for Democrats in general in 2010. And, I would say that, in general, he's gonna have to think about name recognition, fundraising. These are things that he, when asked, has not listed as his, you know, sort of top five priorities in choosing a candidate. However, it's inevitable. And Kennedy at the top of a ticket has never, it wouldn't necessarily hurt. Certainly, Caroline Kennedy has had a lot of missteps early on, but a year and a half is a long time.
Liz, the Times reported over the weekend that Kennedy got exempted from financial disclosure rules that apply to others in similar posts when she was at the New York City Education Department. Is it too early to have a sense if that might matter to her chances?
I don't think it's going to have a significant effect on her chances. I do think it underscores a negative, which is that she is, you know, a member of this political elite, or this class of what passes for royalty in America, and at the very least a political dynasty. And so, you know, that there's one set of rules for those sorts of people and then another set of rules for the sorts of people who are everyone else, you know. And that is the unfortunate thing that that story is going to bring out. And that has hurt her, this idea of, like, you know, that she's somehow entitled. She's never suggested that she's entitled, but it has been seen as an entitlement issue, and that could only underscore that problem.
Liz Benjamin from the Daily News, Irene Liu from the Albany Times Union. Irene, I read that Andrew Cuomo, like his father before him, is playing Hamlet on the Hudson, unable to decide if he wants to go to Washington, wants to compete for this appointment by the governor. What do you know about whether he wants it?
Well, there are various reports that some say that he does want it, some say that he doesn't. Of course, no one, I mean, all of this is all stemmed in rumors and unnamed sources and all of this. I think that, of course, as with any sort of statewide politician who has ambitions for higher office, you always want to be wanted. So, and it never hurts, because keeping your name in the press is basically free advertising. It's a from my sense, from the conversations I've had, it seems less likely that he is particularly interested. He's been very, very consistently interested in potentially higher office in the state of New York, and as he, you know, running for governor. He ran for governor before. People widely speculate that he's interested in running for governor again. Whether there's a detour to D.C. to get him there is another question.
Do you think, Liz, that the Blagojevich-Roland Burris controversy over Obama's vacant seat has any impact on Patterson's decision-making?
I think it has an impact on this whole situation in New York as a whole. What I mean by that is, when you look at it, may be possible that the Obama administration, which definitely has an interest in making Caroline Kennedy, would perhaps be pushing more overtly than they are at this point if they didn't have this Blagojevich problem hanging over their heads. They don't want to look like they're too interested, because obviously getting involved in anything that even smells like pushing a guy, you know, is or a woman for a seat is a problem. In terms of David Patterson and whether this weighs into his thinking, he certainly has brought it up and said that he's going to, endeavor not to avoid any conflicts or any even hint that perhaps anything is going on, like, you know, undue influence or selling a seat, et cetera. So people are thinking about it, and it certainly provides a sort of tint or a cloud over this, but it doesn't weigh in heavily to the calculus of David Patterson's decision.
Meanwhile, Irene, we have this little matter of a $15 billion budget gap over the next year and 3 months in New York State, which the emergency session of the legislature in November failed to close, and the governor is proposing all those various new fees and health and education spending cuts, but no new tax on upper income earners. Where does it all stand?
At the moment, it's in stasis. I think that there are, and what's interesting about that is when Governor Patterson announced his executive budget in December, he had said that he was hoping and expected the legislature to act on February 1st to put it to close the mid-year budget deficit for this year and to pass the executive budget 1 year early for next year.
Mid-year
on March
meaning
1st.
Because the current fiscal year ends on April 1st. So the
exactly.
Current fiscal year has how much of a deficit?
$1.7 billion.
Right. So that's what they have to close just in spending between now and the end of March. When do they have to act before the state runs out of money? Liz?
Well, constitutionally speaking, they have to act by April 1. Otherwise, the budget is late. And as you'll remember, one thing that happens then is that state lawmakers have to forego their paychecks. That's a Pataki era sort of legacy. But in terms of when the state runs out of money, they'll be spending, if in fact they're late going past the constitutional date of April 1st, they'll have to pass emergency spending bills. And where the money would come from is sort of anyone's guess. They could borrow until, you know, the cows come home. It really sort of depends on whether or not the revenue stream is as impacted as everyone says it's going to be, and that kind of remains to be seen. We're sort of working off predictions at this point.
Your column today, Liz, is about which party will control the state Senate, and this is still unknown, even though the Democrats won the majority of seats on Election Day in November for the first time in decades. Where does that stand?
That's a good question. I have no idea. And I think even more troubling is they have no idea. Certainly now you're seeing people play things a little bit closer to the vest than they did before because of this sort of spectacular meltdown of the last time that they actually cut a deal, Malcolm Smith and the so-called Gang of Three, which are the three swing votes held by Democrats who have so far refused to cast their lot with Malcolm Smith or with anyone else for that matter, because the Senate is so tight, 32-29 with one race yet to be decided, those three votes are going to decide this leadership battle. It does seem like it's dragged on for so many weeks that the general consensus is, let's get this thing done so we don't have the same problem we had in 1965 where it took 6 to 7 weeks and you had the governor and the mayor who were weighing in to finally cut a deal on the Senate leadership. I don't think people really want to see that happen again, particularly since the state is in such dire fiscal straits.
By the way, a comment on our website from a listener about the Senate appointment. Jennifer writes, this makes me unbearably furious. New York supported Obama so much that he didn't even need to campaign here. The idea that we have to appoint his friend, Caroline, to the Senate to get consideration in the stimulus package makes me outraged. I want David Paterson to be given some breathing room to make the right decision. Eileen Liu, what about the stimulus package? I read a number that, you know, with this $15 billion budget deficit that the state is facing, that there could be $5 billion in this Obama and congressional stimulus, and we're talking about maybe an $800 billion bill, but that $5 billion of it could go to New York State to close the gap, especially on education and Medicaid funding. What are you hearing?
That, you know, there are a lot of numbers, and still, of course, it's all very much negotiation, but there have been many projections that have shown billions of dollars that could come into New York for FMAP, which is Medicaid funding, as well as for education and other resources. What's interesting about this is already Senate Republicans are saying, well, if we get federal money, then we don't have to do these fees and tax increases. Governor Paterson has said that regardless of whatever the Fed's produce in terms of funding, he still would like us to cut into the budget. Hmm. It's that it's still important that we have to take responsibility on the sort of ballooning spending that's gone on for years and years in New York. It's going to be a tough sell, especially if a lot of money comes in from the feds.
Governor Paterson has his first State of the State address coming up. When is that, Irene? Do you know?
It's on Wednesday.
Oh, it's coming right up.
It is. It's imminent. And it's interesting because traditionally, in the State of the State, the governor sort of sets up what is going to happen in the year, and particularly in the budget, which is in legislative priorities. Already, Governor Paterson has presented his budget, so there's this question of what exactly he's going to talk about. Is he going to be sort of positive? Is he going to be negative? Is he optimistic? And meanwhile, he has also sort of softened on his messaging about passing the budget early. He said, you know, when asked on Friday whether or not there is, you know, he was going to try to make the legislature stick to the deadlines, he said, oh, no, I wasn't saying there were deadlines. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think that there are a lot of moving parts on a lot of levels in regard to the budget as well as the Senate pick and, you know, perhaps on Wednesday his first State of the State address since he ascended to the governorship will provide some insight or not. I don't know.
One more thing, Liz Benjamin from the Daily News, and it has to do with Mayor Bloomberg. I'm going to play a cut here first, a clip of the mayor speaking in Israel over the weekend about the war in Gaza.
I have a great deal of sympathy for anybody that's a victim of terrorism, and I feel terribly strongly that if the terrorists can win in one place, they will be emboldened and will attack us every place.
So, Liz, why did the mayor of New York go to the war zone?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. You know, he's been into Israel, I think, five times since he's been mayor prior to this. And obviously, he's running for re-election. He changed term limits to do that, and which was a controversial move that's still in court, being challenged in court. And, you know, Brian, the sort of old saying about the three I's that you used to have to hit, right, which was Italy, Israel, and Ireland because of the ethnic politics of New York City. And that's changed somewhat to become perhaps more Puerto Rico is certainly more important or has risen in importance given the Hispanic population and the growth of Hispanic voters and the clout of Hispanic voters in New York. But I'm not going to say that it's all political for him, certainly. It doesn't hurt him politically with the Jewish vote, and the Jewish vote has come out in the past strongly for Republicans. He's not a Republican anymore. Conservative Jewish vote has, in fact. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But also, I do believe he feels extremely strongly on this particular point. He has answered stridently in recent press conferences in the wake of the whole situation in Gaza, siding very strongly with Israel.
And coming up in a few minutes, we'll be talking with a columnist from Haaretz, the Israeli daily newspaper, and I think we're going to learn that the discussion of whether Israel is doing the right thing is actually more complex among Israelis than it is in this country. But Liz, last thing on this before you go, from our website, Leo in Queens writes, can you ask your guest if anyone in the New York press has confirmed whether the mayor and police commissioner's visit to the war zone in Israel is being done on the taxpayer's dime? Do you know?
Interesting question. I did ask that question yesterday. I asked whether the mayor, who, of course, is quite wealthy, is a billionaire, and has access to his own plane, took his own plane with the police commissioner and Representative Gary Ackerman, and there were some other folks with them. And the response that I received was that they're not discussing that.
And this listener writes, with the crime and budget problems we have, is the commissioner, police commissioner, there to pick up pointers on how best to use tanks, airplanes, and illegal bombs on repressing an urban population? Ha, ha, ha. But what is the police commissioner doing there?
Yeah, that's also a good question. I mean, I have no idea. It's not... this whole idea was they were on the ground for like 12 hours. That's a one-day trip to declare solidarity with Israel. They went to two cities that are actually receiving, you know, rocket fire from Hamas. They, in fact, had to be sort of, you know, swept away to a bunker, to a safe room, because there was a rocket attack, a siren of a rocket attack while they were there. And, you know, that wasn't a question that was posed to them while they were in Israel. Why, in fact, have you decided to take Ray Kelly and not, I don't know, whoever? Although, right. You know, there has been operations between the NYPD and Israel before.
And I am told that, according to the New York Times, the mayor did take his own plane. At very least. Liz Benjamin, columnist for The Daily News. She writes The Daily Politics for The Daily News. Irene Liu, political writer at The Times Union and blogger for Capital Confidential. Thank you both very much for filling us in on all this stuff.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, 2009 is the year you'll be required to have digital reception to watch television. New York City Councilwoman Gail Brewer will explain how the government will help you pay for the transition if you don't have the right equipment. Stay tuned.